Turn with me to Proverbs 5:23. This will be the last verse of Proverbs 5. And then after this, we'll get into a whole new topic, which will be nice. Proverbs 5:23. It says, "He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." So we're still talking about the guy that goes into the strange woman. That's what this whole chapter has been about. And it ends with his death, which is, I guess, a pretty good place to end it. That's usually where most things end. So let's look at the first three words there. He shall die. So it makes sense that the man will die, because we're told in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So yeah, when you sin, you'll die. And especially when you sin a sin like this, you're certainly worthy of death. We're told in at least a couple, three different places in the book of Proverbs that the man that goes into a strange woman has a death wish. Remember Proverbs 2:19 a while back, we looked at that, where it says, "None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." So there's, as we talked about, if you'll remember, just by way of very brief review, there's a couple of different ways that the man that goes into her might not return again. He might get killed on the way out, you know, if her husband happens to come home, or he may not return again with the honor that he had whenever he went in to her. He may lose that, and so he comes out a totally different man and different in the eyes of all of his friends and co-workers and family and so on. So a couple of different ways that he cannot return again. And then in Proverbs 7 and verse 23, it says, "Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life," referring to this young man that went into the woman with the attire of an harlot, the strange woman. It's just as if he was struck through the liver, right? He will die one way or the other. He will get death. And I'll talk about the different ways that can happen. And then verses 26 and 27, it says, "And she shall, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." It's amazing that a woman that's much smaller than a man, much weaker than a man, can easily slay him, right, through this kind of sin. So the different ways that he could die, as we've already looked at, would be disease. Remember Proverbs 5:11, "And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." So he could die of AIDS or one of the other STDs that can kill you. Or he could die of a vengeful man that doesn't like the fact that he's taken up a bedroom with his wife. Proverbs 6:33 through 35 says, "A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts." Or he could just die at the hand of God. God has been known to kill people before. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to the Holy Ghost, and God struck them dead right on the spot. Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire. We talked about that just on Sunday. God killed them. Onan touched the ark to steady it. God killed him. Uzzah. Oh, God killed Onan too. He got an early withdrawal penalty. And then there was Onan's brother-in-law, or brother, I think. Ur was wicked, and the Lord killed him. And then Onan was supposed to raise up, I think Onan was supposed to raise up seed for Ur, and then he didn't want to. So, yeah, so there's been a lot of people over the years that the Lord has killed, you know, like millions of people in the flood and so on. I mean, God does kill people from time to time. Sodom and Gomorrah, whole city, yes. So anyway, it could just be a direct judgment from God. Remember Hebrews 13:4 that it says, "Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." And that judgment can be death. And I would not doubt that God has slain many adulterers in the past. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. In fact, I have known people that committed adultery that died earlier than you would have thought they would have. And it wouldn't be surprising to me one bit if that wasn't a judgment from God. It took a long time, but so it does happen. I know of it personally. And if this guy is not a child of God, saved by grace, then he's going to die an eternal death of suffering in the lake of fire. And that's the worst kind. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, that's like this guy we're reading about here in Proverbs 5, whoremonger. Did I say it right? Mm-hmm. Whoremonger. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not whoremongerer. I've been saying that wrong forever. Judy told me about it last week. Whoremonger. And whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So yes, this is a death, but this is a death that just keeps on deathing. Like you never get out of it. It just continues. The punishment continues. Jesus said these should go away into everlasting punishment prepared for the devil and his angels. I kind of put two verses together there, but anyway, you get the point. So it said there that he shall die without instruction. Right? He shall die without instruction. Now, how is it that this man is going to die without instruction? Because as we've looked at in Proverbs 5, he was given a lot of instruction. That's the whole point of the chapter, right? The chapter is Solomon giving instruction to not do this, to not commit adultery. But yet it says that he shall die without instruction. Now, how is that possible? Well, he will die without having heeded instruction. Because in verse 12, we see that he certainly did get instruction. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? This is the same exact guy that's dying without instruction there in verse 23. So he hated instruction, but yet he did get it. Well, he didn't heed it. That was the thing. He was instructed to stay away from the strange woman by many teachers, including God, parents, the scriptures, pastors, teachers, common sense, right? We talked about all the different ways in which a man is instructed to not commit adultery. There in verse 13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. So yeah, he got lots of instruction. So how will he die without it? Well, in James 1, 21 through 22 through 24, we're taught that if you don't listen to instruction and obey instruction, it's just as useless as if you never heard it at all. James 1, 22 through 24. James says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So, if you, like, let's just say you had a very severe case of dementia or Alzheimer's, and you couldn't your short-term memory was totally gone, and you look in the mirror, and then you walk away, and you forgot you looked in the mirror. Was looking in the mirror any good to you? It was no good at all, right? You don't even remember what you looked like. You have no idea. You don't know that you got a big mark on your face and you look goofy, right? Because you can't remember. Well, James says it's the same way, that if you hear the word and you don't do it, so it's worthless. The word is totally worthless if you hear it and you don't do it. So this is how the man will die without instruction. Though he was instructed, because he didn't pay attention and listen to it and obey it, he's dying without it because it's totally worthless to him. So therefore, a man who refuses to heed instruction dies without it. And then the second half of the verse. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Now, the folly in context is the folly of adultery with the strange woman. Look at Proverbs 5:20. Proverbs 5:20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, embrace the bosom of a stranger? And he just got done telling him to only embrace his own wife. So this is a married man, so therefore this is adultery. So the direct context here is adultery. The greatness of his folly is adultery. And adultery is indeed a great folly. It's a folly of great magnitude. Greatness means the attribute of being great in size, extent, or degree. And folly is the quality or state of being foolish or deficient in understanding, want of good sense, weakness or derangement of mind, also unwise conduct. There's nothing greater in degree of unwise conduct, of doing something that where you would want or lack good sense or being deficient in understanding. There's nothing greater than adultery, or I'd say very few things anyway. So much so, and I know I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it to you again. You might have forgotten. In the book of James, James compares adultery and murder. And if you read the order here, it appears, it's in James 2 and verse 11, that he actually puts adultery higher on the scale of sin than he does murder. I know I've mentioned this before. He says, "For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." So you say, so if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you're a transgressor. So if you killed, and then your defense is, well, yeah, but at least I never committed adultery, right? You're saying that adultery would actually be the greater crime. So yeah, even though you haven't committed adultery, you killed somebody, that means you're still a sinner. You see the point? So he actually is putting adultery higher than killing somebody. And that's interesting, if you think about it. And I suppose maybe if a guy came in and kills your wife, she's gone forever. If a guy comes in and takes her away from you, and then you have to watch her be with him for the next 20 years, probably worse than if she was dead. Right? So maybe that's why adultery is worse. Just a thought. Adultery is an exceedingly foolish thing to do, and he that does so lacks understanding, just as the definition of folly shows, that it is being foolish or deficient in understanding, and that's what the scripture says in Proverbs 6:32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. So it's not only a bodily destruction, it's a spiritual destruction. You'll ruin your own soul. You'll ruin your own inward person. Ruin yourself psychologically, mentally, emotionally. It'll really screw you up. Now, it's interesting when it says, it describes adultery as the greatness of his folly. And that really matches up with what else the scripture says about adultery. Because in Job 31, 9 through 11, adultery is called a heinous crime. Job 31, 9 through 11. Job says, "If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all mine increase." He says it's a heinous crime. And this is the only place in the Bible where the word heinous is used. So it's interesting. You kind of see what James is referring to there when he puts adultery above murder. I just think that's kind of curious. A heinous crime is a crime that is hateful, odious, highly criminal or wicked, infamous, atrocious, chiefly characterizing offenses, crimes, sins, or those who commit them. So hateful, odious, highly criminal and wicked, atrocious, those are pretty strong words there. So therefore, adultery is a great sin. And committing adultery will lead a man astray. Remember, in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. It will lead a man astray from God. Astray is out of the right way, or out of the right way, away from the proper path, wandering. Away from the right, in or into error or evil. So it'll take you off of the path of righteousness, off of that straight and narrow way, into the way which leads unto destruction. You'll go astray. You'll go away from God if you do that. And it says in Proverbs 7:27 that the strange woman's house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And that would be a way of saying that you shall go astray. If you go down to the chambers of death, you probably have gotten onto the wrong path. Proverbs 7:27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So the man that goes there goes into error and to evil. That is, goes to the strange woman's house. So that takes care of Proverbs 5:23 and Proverbs 5 as a whole.